Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The red Starbucks cups are so offensive, said no one. Shia LaBeouf makes going to the movies an art, more Lohan drama, and my co-host Kylie Hodges and I share our thoughts on the two new Housewives cities. That and more now. Let the ranting begin. I am sitting across from Kylie Hodges, host, on-air personality, and blogger.
Hi, Grant.
Hello.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I love it. I'm glad. Well, we know one another because we co-hosted an after show for the Lindsay documentary on OWN that has come up a couple times on this podcast.
You know, Lindsay is a really interesting topic because every person in the world has an opinion of Lindsay Lohan. Even though a very small fraction of the world has met her. Everybody's seen her movies. Everybody knows who she is. Everybody watched her descent in the tabloids, so they all have an opinion.
Well, we all know I only watched it because of Dina. I mean, I only watched it because of the mother. But it was enjoyable nonetheless.
Yes. Oh, Dina. You know,
everyone I talked to has watched this documentary, yet the ratings were so bad. I don't know who actually really watched it. No one with the Nielsen box.
Piss poor ratings. I wonder if they watched, like, clips online, because the small moments where Lindsay had meltdowns are what made the whole show.
And yet,
most of the show was just the camera crew being like, Lindsay, can you please let us in so we can film you?
Yeah.
And then it would be
his big entrance.
Yes.
Into Dina's, foreclosed. Allegedly.
Yeah. Episode 3 of Oprah walking into Dina's house was the only episode worth watching, really.
Yes, yes. I gotta go back and look at that. I forgot a lot about that. But anyway.
So good.
There are some topics that we have to get into, and I have to give my rant of the day.
Grant's rant of the day!
My rant has to go to this ridiculous red cup situation with Starbucks. I mean, it's not even worth talking about. Is there really anyone that is offended by the fact that there are not biblical images etched onto these cups? Is anyone really affected by it?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can answer that question, but I found an article online today on Time Magazine that walks you through what every Starbucks cup looked like since 2007 for the holidays. And never once was there, like, a baby Jesus on it. One year it was a polar bear. One year it was, like, a little boy sledding. And every year it's gotten less cartoony and a little bit more, like, looks more like wrapping paper. Just like snowflakes or something. Mm. So I think that the people who are really up in arms about it are just not getting with the trends and realizing simplicity is key here.
Well, I just want to know who these people are, because I haven't seen any real backlash by people that say they're affected.
So you think it's just a bunch of hoopla in the media just, like, talking for the sake of talking?
Well, our listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I did some research, and I saw this article on Forbes.com, which, by the way, is a lousy website. There's ads all over it. I can't even read. I mean, really, I can't even read anything, but I managed to get through the multiple pop-ups and read that an evangelical pastor posted on a social media that he wasn't happy with the new design and that he went in and told the barista that his name was Merry Christmas. And they wrote it on the cup, and he said, ha, now it's a Christmas cup. Now, this is the only fool who's been out there. Really?
Oh, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
This is the only foolish person who's out there with a problem. So I don't know who these people are. I am hoping that this is Starbucks just getting the most they can out of these Christmas cups or what holiday cups. I hope that's what it is, but I don't know. Someone's pissed.
That's absurd. The only thing I would say to somebody doing that is, like, if you're pissed about the cups, bring your own coffee cup and save a tree. Quit filling up our landfills and be green and reuse your coffee mug. Get over it.
I just have to believe that people have more to do than to worry about an ombre cup.
Now, yeah, really do need to move on.
Have you seen the cup in person?
I've seen it from the distance.
I've inspected this cup. And I am giving it my seal of approval. I like an ombre design. It's good enough for me. Is someone really upset about this or not? I don't know. I really don't. Let's move on to the next thing I want to talk about. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh my God.
Is going to the movies. He's been there for a while, actually. Now, he has been, it's like an art project, I guess, he's trying to put forth. He's got a live stream of himself watching his movies in reverse chronological order with an audience behind him. Now, I looked at the live feed.
I did too.
What did you think of this nonsense?
I mean, it's just Shia sitting in a hooded sweatshirt watching himself in the theater. I did notice that he's very fidgety. Mm-hmm. He needs to relax. But he has been sitting in a theater for like 24 hours now. So I get that he's fidgety.
He fell asleep during some of the Transformers movies. One time it was in a chair. The other time was in the aisle. And he just passed out. And people who were viewing this movie when it was over had to step over him to exit the theater. I'm not even kidding.
Oh my God, that's so funny. You know what? I've fallen asleep during Transformers movies, too.
I heard it wasn't worth it. I didn't see it the first time. I didn't even see it the first. But really, so I don't know what this proves, but you've got people waiting in line over 12 hours just to go into the theater to be able to say they watched a movie with him.
Yep.
Now, I don't remember half these movies he's been in. I'm not much of a movie person, but I do remember the Even Stevens movie.
You know what? Even Stevens is what made me fall in love with Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
And even though he's gone down some sort of weird descent that I don't really know what triggered it, I still am a fan. It's really interesting to me. I was thinking about this today because I was actually talking about the Shia thing with a coworker. And, you know, everybody has opinions on celebrities. But yet, how many people have really met them? Like, people are so quick to say, oh, I hate Shia. Oh, I hate Lindsay Lohan. But, like, why do you hate them? You hate Lindsay because she got lip injections? Is that really why you hate her? Mm-hmm. Do you think she's a talented actress? I mean, Shia, I always thought he was really funny on Even Stevens. And so I can't hate him just because, what did he ever do to me?
Right. It's just, it's very strange, though. This idea of watching your own movies in reverse order and being broadcast on the web. We've never seen anyone do this. And apparently, he is quite a following. Is the line... That's part of the whole... That's part of it being art in itself, is that there's a line out front. Like, it's a whole art piece. And now, you know, perhaps someone would say this, that's not art at all. But I think it's just fascinating.
He's a spectacle. I mean, people are in line because they want to be able to say they were a part of some weird thing Shia LaBeouf did. They're not in line because they're like, oh my gosh, I love Shia. I hope he'll make eye contact with me. You know, that's just not, people don't see him as equals. They see him as like a zoo animal.
Yeah.
You just want to watch and see what happens.
I thought the live feed was very uncomfortable to watch.
It was weird.
It was just like, I never saw such a thing.
But if you were as famous as him and you had the power to be able to do something like that, would you? I would for sure.
No.
No? You like your privacy?
I do. I don't want to be on camera that long. I mean, he's sitting there in the same coat, the same sweatshirt, all that time, sleeping on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Movie theater floor. That's probably disgusting.
Yeah, no. I'm good.
I just watched the trailer for the new Housewives of Potomac.
Yes. Let's talk about these two new housewives cities. I have a bone to pick with one of them, but go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I only saw the trailer for the Potomac one.
Yeah, Dallas isn't out yet. I've been looking.
So, the Housewives of Potomac is like if you gave the women of the Bad Girls Club a couple $1 million.
Really? Ooh, okay.
It looks absurd. It looks like all of these ratchet women married crusty old men with money. Although, isn't that every housewife?
For the most part. If not now, later.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, like, the young one, the young, beautiful one who makes the older woman feel inferior because she's like, I'm young and new and you're just jealous of me.
Yeah, there's always the mother of the group. Yes. You know, I hear you. Well,
disaster.
My first thing was, upon reading that there was going to be a franchise entitled The Real Housewives of Potomac, I said, well, Let's look at what's already out there. Orange County is identifiable to most people around the country. We've all heard of the OC. We've watched it, the show, whatever. Beverly Hills, great title. New York, and so on. But this one really has no ties to really... I didn't know it was in Maryland. I really didn't.
I had to Google Potomac just to double check that it was outside of D.C. Because I was like, I think... There's, a war that took, the Revolutionary War happened there,
the Battle
right?
of Potomac.
Yeah,
yes.
I had to, be like, did I learn this decade ago?
The Battle of Potomac, yes. So it sounded vaguely familiar, but I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, Maryland? No, I have nothing against the state of Maryland. But
I do.
But I'm, okay, well, good. Okay, good. But I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
I mean, Maryland... why aren't we doing Vegas or the Silicon Valley area? I mean, Northern California is an untapped region, and we know there's money up there. Why not?
Think about, the housewives of Portland, because it's all, rich bitches who don't shave their armpits.
Yes. their kids all go to, schools that grade in, images.
Or they're, it's, farm-to-table schooling,
Yes.
No, but I think the Potomac one is interesting only because it's a smidgen southern with an East Coast attitude. When I drove the Wienermobile, I spent a significant amount of time in Baltimore.
And just to clarify.
Yes, I drove the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. I don't know if anybody raised an eyebrow when they heard the word Wienermobile, but it is the 27-foot-long hot dog that you've probably seen driving across the highway.
I have seen it. Yeah. I have seen it.
They're actually in L.A. right now.
Really?
Yeah. My coworker told me they saw him driving on the 5 today, and I was like, what? And they sent their work cell phone a text message, because that used to be my work cell phone. And I was like, where are you guys at? They're here in town.
Nice.
But yeah, I was there. I worked in all throughout Maryland for a little while, and the people were always very kind to me. But I also overheard a lot of very racist things. And I realized I was south of the Mason-Dixon line. You know, when I was raised in Wisconsin, and so, Maryland is the exotic East Coast to me.
Yeah.
But then when I got there, I was like, oh, this is the South. This is very much the South. And while I'm not saying everybody isn't refined, there were definitely some old school backwoods attitudes. And I think that... this show could be interesting because it's the old money, old attitudes blending in with the fact that these people are wealthy and probably connected to politics.
Right. I mean, I would assume.
Yeah. So what if Obama made an appearance?
Right. I mean, of course, a lot of people draw, lines over to The Real Housewives of D.C., which was just not a good fit. And it was just, in my opinion, severely miscast and just thrown together just to be able to start a new city. And that's my opinion. I don't know how true that is. But, I mean, the same region, which is the only franchise that was actually canceled. So it's okay. I mean, all right. So we're revisiting... reality TV landscape is different than it was back then. But I'm just still saying, I don't know if we need to keep covering that area because there's a lot of East Coast housewives, and I think that there are other regions. Now, looking at Dallas, very good idea.
Great idea. It's going to be a whole bunch of hairspray and y'alls and passive-aggressive backstabbing.
Yes.
The Texas way. I love Texas, though, so I'm totally on board with Dallas.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they're going to put out two at once this, two new ones, because I thought they'd be kind of bring Bravo in a more contemporary direction, and I thought maybe that they kind of, they're good with what they've got. They've got a good solid lineup of housewives. I never knew if they were going to go back or not, but as a Housewives fan, I'm glad to see the franchise growing, but I also just think there's only going to be one survivor between these two new cities when all is said and done.
You think it'll be Dallas or Potomac?
I think it's going to be Dallas.
For sure.
So, yeah, I don't know about... I thought Potomac was when you go on YouTube, there's a bunch of Housewives spoofs.
Yeah.
There's, a bunch, the Real Housewives of Maine. It's all, Potomac, I was like, no, there isn't really one called it, right? That's not really the name. I thought it was going to, at least, something a little more, relevant in,
right.
in name. That's why I think it should just be called The Real Housewives of Maryland.
Yeah.
Because, that's one of the 50 states. And It's rooted in history.
Yes. I would like to see the franchise go international. Like the Real Housewives of Quebec.
Well, they do
or
have
Vancouver
a few.
Or Mexico City. Oh, think of the Mexico feisty bitches in Mexico City.
The Melbourne ones are actually pretty good. It's,
really?
It's very entertaining. Like, for all the wrong reasons, but it's very entertaining.
Oh, I'll watch it. Yeah. Bless Bravo's heart. They, you know, when they found something that works, they really beat it to death. And everyone's okay with it. People love it.
But a lot of the international ones only aired internationally until recently with The Real Housewives of Melbourne. Scott Dunlap, he is the creator of The Real Housewives of Orange County. So he is credited with bringing us all these lovely gaggles of women.
He's probably, he has a swimming pool of money.
He started out living in Coto de Casa. He started out with a bank. That's the private gated community in Orange County where the original Housewives started. It's like as exclusive as can be.
Wow.
I actually got in there once. I had a friend in college. He didn't tell me that he lived there. And I went to go and visit him. And I had to go through all these gates and keep showing different IDs. It was like three gates deep before I got to his driveway. It's very exclusive.
What part of Orange County is it?
Like southeast, I believe. It's a good part of. It's
wow.
Like, it's beautiful.
So it's not near the beach.
No, it isn't.
Is it like Tustin?
No, it's much further south, and it has everything there. It has like beautiful golf courses, everything's so manicured, a clubhouse, and all these individual neighborhoods within Coto de Casa.
Wow.
So it's a big hub of very large homes, but yeah, you know, there's still. It's California. They're still on top of each other, so that was a cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a good time when you were there, at least?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
You should stay in very close touch with that person who lives there.
Unfortunately.
And I hope he's not listening to this.
Unfortunately, I think he moved to New York, so there goes my one connection to go see Vicki Gunvalson in the flesh.
Vicki! Oh my God, that woman.
We talked about her a couple times. Lindsay Lohan, you and I talk about her best when we're together.
Lindsay.
Well, her brother was arrested. Fill us in on what happened.
I thought he was the good one.
We thought.
Well, okay, so I'm a little confused. So he started an app with Lindsay, and then someone is claiming that he stole his idea. But then he also didn't have, like, a license for something? Or he stole, like, a placard?
Yes. So there was a virtual closet that he and Lindsay created as an app for the phone.
Yes.
Someone's claiming they already did it. They have the rights to it or whatever. And so now they're going through this whole legal battle. And on top of it, he created a placard for his car in New York where he parked illegally or he parked past the meter's expiration. And then they caught the placard. Like, it was something like really bonehead, stupid move, less than smart.
Yeah.
And so I now can say that he has a mugshot, which I'm very excited about because I have
the Lohan mugshots.
I have a little Christmas tree I put out, and all the Lohan mugshots are on it every year. Dean is on there, Lindsay, all of Michael's multiples. And now I get to add the eldest Lohan son, Michael.
Grant, I think I knew you were a really special person when you came to our after show with your little tree with all the mugshots on there because you hadn't mentioned it, but when I saw it in real life, I was like, Grant's the real deal. He's hardcore about this Lohan family. You have all the mugshots, and you have them as little ornaments hanging from a Christmas tree.
And now I get to add a new one.
Oh, my God.
The year that just keeps on giving to Grant.
What kind? Do you like the mugshot? I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's rough, but
is it?
Yeah, I mean, it looks just like all the others. I mean, he's following.
Do you think he was on drugs or something?
No, he just looks pissed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
and he looks just like his dad, the poor guy.
Yeah, I don't understand though why you would need to have a mugshot taken just to create an illegal placard. But that's because I've never done it.
Well, and you're Lindsay Lohan's brother. That probably doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, it helps me because I get to add a new ornament to the tree. I'm very excited about it.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I'm very pleased. Now, Michael is in the press for a bunch of nonsense. Apparently, he was. Police came. They allegedly, this is not true. It was proven not to be true, but they said that he beat up his children with Kate Major, is that her name?
Yeah, but they're married now. But didn't they, met when they were on the Surreal Life, right? Or like, no, Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, probably.
So she, I mean, she doesn't have a record for being, having anything together in her life.
No.
Like, shouldn't you not form a relationship when you're in rehab? Isn't that the number one rule?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I think so. Yeah.
I feel like Dr. Drew has said that at one point, where it's like, it's not healthy to have a relationships while you're in rehab because you're not even stable with yourself.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, plus
you're a low hand.
Well, I mean, you're even working on yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, these two.
Disaster.
Did anybody think these two are going to be forever? I mean, really?
Oh, no.
So now.
And Michael Lohan's mother is taking care of the kids. Because didn't Child Protective Services take the kids away from them?
Yes.
That is so sad.
It is. And now he's been cleared of all charges when it comes to allegedly going, like, attacking the kids.
Oh,
but this woman, I mean, these two, who didn't see this coming?
Yeah, whoever conducted that wedding ceremony should have been like, actually, maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe I, the pastor, should object to this.
Right. I mean, she claims that he choked her, he slapped their son in the face, and they had to hide the kids from him. I mean, all these crazy allegations.
Neither of them sound like they're suited to be a parent.
Right.
That's sad.
Michael's saying that eventually he'll have to file for divorce. I mean, eventually.
What's holding you back?
I know. Well, Michael returns to television as well as the diva Dina herself in this upcoming show, Family Therapy on VH1, which I'm very much looking forward to. I've talked about it before on this podcast. Tiffany New York Pollard from Flavor of Love and her mother are going to be on it.
Oh, God.
This is going to be a ratchet hour of television.
I love New York. Was a game-changing show
game
for me
change.
In college.
That was like the Flavor of Love.
Yes, me too. Flavor of Love was the game-changer.
I have
and then
it on
it spiraled.
DVD.
Do you?
I live for Flavor of Love. I can quote full scenes to you.
Flavor of Love really opened my eyes to the VH1 reality TV world, and then it spiraled out of control when New York got her show, and then Real and Chance got their show, and then one of those guys is dead, which is so sad because I thought they were very sweet. And then Daisy got her show.
Oh,
and
I forgot
then
about that girl.
There was a guy, not Rock of Love, but there was another one of those shows. He got a show. Oh, was it I Love Money?
There was I Love
It got
Money,
canceled because this guy was a murderer.
Yeah, legit. He came from Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Yes. It's Megan Wants a Millionaire. That's what it is.
Yes. VH1 has got to bring back their celebrity.
Yes, they do.
That was
the heyday for VH1.
Everything. I'm hoping that Flavor's hitting rock bottom.
I want him and Bridget Nielsen to be
I'm hoping that, I'm not hoping the worst for Flav. I'm just hoping that he hits rock bottom so that way when VH1 peels him off the floor at the penitentiary, he can just go back and do Flavor of Love season 4 with New York back in action.
Oh, disgusting. I want to see Flavor of Love season 4 where it's taking place in the prison.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Flavor of Love where Flav is getting a taste of other people's medicine, but it's not necessarily the kind of people he wants when you're in prison.
New York said in a recent interview she still has feelings of Flav, and she still finds him sexy.
Oh, stop it.
She said, quote, "That is a sexy man right there."
Ew. Okay, and you know what? He's sexy to her because he can probably pay for her second boob job.
Maybe.
Because she definitely had work done before I Love New York.
Well, Well, now she did.
She had a boob job for sure.
And now this, I don't know if he's got any money at all. Do you know that he had to have a state trooper drive him to his own mother's funeral?
That's so sad. Was he in jail? Or
no,
did he just not have a car?
Flav was actually going 79 miles an hour with marijuana in his possession. And he was pulled over on the Meadowbrook State Parkway on his way to his mother's funeral.
Oh.
He explained where he was going. He said he was racing. And then he was escorted by the state trooper to the funeral with everybody there, like you're walking in with. Isn't that terrible?
That's awful. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That's why VH1 has to like scrape him off the floor and say, "All right, get Big Rick. We're getting this house in Encino. We're doing another Flavor of Love.
That's so sad. That's really sad. I'm laughing, which is horrible. But that's so sad.
Well, where do we go from here? All I can say is Family Therapy on VH1. Dina, Michael, New
Bam
York.
Bam Margera? I love that.
Sister Patterson.
Yes.
You're not going to want to miss it if you like junk TV as much as I do. It's going to be on VH1 in January, and I'm already waiting for it to pop up on the DVR.
Oh, I'm stoked.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
So let's switch gears and let's talk about you.
Okay.
We've heard your opinions, especially about television shows. And, of course, you're no stranger to talking about TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, you work in the business, of course. Mm-hmm. And you're out there interviewing folks, hosting, and you even work in television.
I do. So, I'm all around it.
Yes. So let's talk about what the ultimate goal is. What are you here to do? You're from the Midwest.
Yeah. Born and raised Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm like a proud Midwesterner. I feel like a lot of people who come from small cities are totally okay with abandoning that. But Madison is a really magical city. If you haven't been, I highly recommend you go. But the end goal for me, you know, I would love nothing more than to be like Kathy Lee and Hoda, fourth hour of the Today Show. Someone puts makeup on my face. I drink a glass of wine and I make stay-at-mom homes feel really good about, stay-at-home moms feel really good about themselves. You know what? There is nothing I would love more than to be paid to give a stranger off the street a makeover.
There you go.
Right?
So see, you're
living the dream.
Yeah, your ambitions are too, you know, too pie in the sky. They're very realistic,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
You just want to sit and have a glass of wine on the Today Show.
I just want to be a real girl's girl.
You know, I gotta say that fourth hour of the Today Show, I actually respect them quite a bit, because other shows, The View, take themselves way too seriously, and they're trying to be something that they're not. Kathy Lee and Hoda, you know what you're getting with them.
Yes.
They even goof on themselves. You know what you're getting.
Yes.
And I really like that show because they're not trying to be anything
than
who they already
academics.
Are. Yes. I like that show. It's actually very well produced. Yeah, I could see you in that.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. And when I drove the Wienermobile, I actually was on the fourth hour of the Today Show.
You were?
Yeah, do you know who Sarah Haynes is?
Yes.
Now she's on GMA. So she, at the time, was a field reporter for the Today Show. And she had a segment called You Get Paid for That? And it was, I was an Oscar Mayer hot dogger, which means Oscar Mayer, every year they hire 12 recent college graduates to be the spokesperson of the Wienermobile for one calendar year, June 1st to June 1st. And there's like over 1,500 candidates. It's a really competitive gig. And they hire the cream of the crop. Mm-hmm. Toot my own horn here. And they try to hire kids who are, you know, fresh out of college, marketing or PR majors. I was a film major, though. But kids who are really, like, outgoing people and can speak on behalf of the brand in a trustworthy way. Anyways, Sarah Haynes did this segment on us called You Get Paid for That. And coincidentally, it was 4 years ago yesterday because it was on Veterans Day when I did this segment with her. And we were in Brooklyn at the Air Force Base. I can't remember the name of it now. But what we did was we took her through a day in the life of a hot dogger. So when I got the job, we had 2 weeks of like straight 14-hour days, 2 weeks straight, intensive training called Hot Dog High. And we were working with like the president of Oscar Mayer, and they were training us the ins and outs of the brand. And like at the end of Hot Dog High, we took an oath with a hot dog in hand. Like they take it seriously, but also they're very lighthearted about the fact that they're training people how to talk about hot dogs.
Oh, I like that.
It was fantastic.
It's very sweet. It's like just wholesome.
Yes. And you have a good sense of humor about it. And with Sarah, she was so fun. And she did this segment about us, and I was so excited. And then it didn't air until January, so it took a few months. And I remember the day that it aired, I was sitting in my hotel room because I was still driving the Wienermobile, and I was in Phoenix. And it cut to Kathy Lee and Hona, and they're like, all right, up next, Sarah has got a interesting package about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. And then they hold up a little wiener whistle, and Sarah's like, I brought you these wiener whistles. And Kathy Lee goes, I'd rather have a hot dog. And I wanted to be like, shut up, Kathy Lee, shut up. Say that the hot doggers are great people.
Right.
And then they ran the package, and that was that. But it was like, that was a really cool moment
you
to
were
say.
On it. Yeah.
I was on the Today Show. Yeah.
That is legit.
Yeah.
Very few people can say that. And
that's true.
And it's like, what a cool circumstance to be on it, too, you know?
Mm hmm.
Really,
and I got to close the bell.
Group. Yeah. Oh, you did?
At the stock exchange. Yeah. And I got to, it was like this very surreal time in my life because A, you're driving a hot dog. So that's weird. B, you're on the Today Show for driving a hot dog. And then I got to close the bell at the stock exchange. So you have like these really important people who are probably way smarter than me shaking my hand and saying nice things to me. Mm-hmm. And then you're getting on the Today Show and it's all because of the car you drive.
Yeah.
Which is such a strange, surreal concept. Like, you're instantly famous the minute you're driving the Wienermobile.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute you take off your uniform and you don't have the keys in your hand, you're nobody again. So when the job was done, I sort of had this weird little, you know, crisis of, like, an identity crisis almost. Like, who
That's
am
so
I? No one wants to talk to me anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate to that in certain ways when it comes to, like, being a page and like wearing the uniform and working on the Tonight Show. I mean,
it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I got asked a lot of very dumb questions,
of course,
but, you know, it was very cool to be able to be there and to be, you know, somebody in the crowd. And
it's a part of history.
Yeah, exactly. Especially that was when, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno was wrapping up and Fallon had been announced. So it was like, not the final days, but you know, the final season or two. So it was really neat to be part of that fabric and to be able to, you know, put on that uniform with the little name tag and represent NBC. I mean, you know, and you're representing a very large, renowned company with that too. I like that feeling.
I think there's something about when you're in college, people don't tell you what a letdown the first 2 years of adulthood are.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go from, you know, when you graduate high school, you're going to college, you feel like you're in the, you know, the cream of the crop of your class, you've achieved something, you've earned this higher education. Then you go through four years or more of academia where you have these professors who are holding you to a higher standard and really challenging you and making you feel important because you're capable of being challenged. And it's a great feeling. And then you get these incredible internships and you have all these dreams and people are like, you're graduating, you're going to go places. And then you graduate and you move west and suddenly you're getting lunch for somebody who doesn't say thank you and you're making minimum wage. And it's just such
a humbling kick in the knees.
It really is. And it's definitely something that everyone needs to go through in this industry. But like, man, it sucks. You go for like, I was on the Today Show, I thought I was a celebrity to getting people lunch and being like, do you want to hear stories about me and the Wienermobile? And they're like, no, please go clean something. Such a letdown.
It is. It is. It's an interesting business of
high,
very high highs. Like, you know, you're on, you know, you're at an award show or you've got an exclusive ticket to something. You know, you're sitting next to a big name or you have a meeting, a very high meeting with somebody. And then it's very low lows where you're in between gigs or you can't even get a basic person to answer your email. That's been my experience in this last year alone. I mean, of course, since starting in this business, but recently. It's just this last year has been tough. It's been a lot of very like high highs and a lot of low lows. And it's like when you're out, you're out, you know, when you're not on the inside of the bubble and LA is very much a bubble. Do you feel that way?
For sure.
And I mean, I need to get out sometimes, like even a trip up to like Santa Barbara or wherever is just like very helpful.
Very necessary.
Yeah. But because of work, I've just been in this bubble for so long. I got away a little bit around Labor Day, but I've been here since January of 2015, and it's been very little, if at all, a break.
Yeah, and whenever I go back to Wisconsin, it's funny because my friends sort of call me out on it sometimes. About like, oh, you're so Hollywood now. And like, that hurts me when people say that. It's definitely not a compliment to call somebody Hollywood. And when they say that, I'm like, oh, no. What have I done? What have I become? Am I a monster? And then I think, well, people in LA aren't really infatuated with me the way people back in the Midwest were when I was a young, you know, co-ed. Mm-hmm. But now when I go back to the Midwest, people don't love me the way they used to because LA has changed me. So it feels like I don't really fit anywhere anymore. I'm too Midwest for LA, but I'm too LA for the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Where do I go?
Yeah, I can relate to that with being very East Coast.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I struggle with which coastline I should be on. Yeah. Now, why did you choose LA? What brought you here versus maybe going back east?
Well, I knew since I was very little that I was not going to stay in Wisconsin. And it's funny because nobody ever told me you need to leave home. But, like, I just always felt like I never really fit in. I'm a little too goofy. I'm a little too loud, you know? And I just thought I had to go somewhere else to find people like me. And then in college, I was a radio TV film major, and I got an internship on the show Wipeout on ABC. And I came out to LA, and while I was on this internship, I met a guy, and I started dating him. And so my last semester of college, I was commuting to LA on the weekends to see my 6 years older than me boyfriend mm-hmm. and have this, like, fantasy life. But then Monday through Friday, I was, like, cramming to finish college, and then I ended up getting the Wienermobile job, and that sort of put everything on pause. But because I was dating this guy, like, I knew the TV industry was mainly in LA, but also there was a guy here, and so I was like, I gotta be in LA. Yeah. And then the relationship fizzled because of course.
Yeah.
And then I still knew, you know, I applied to be a page in New York City. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a connection with the hiring coordinator, and they loved me. And they were like, you're a shoo-in. We just need your college transcripts. Now, remember a minute ago when I said that I was the last semester of college commuting to LA?
Mm-hmm.
That affected my grades. And my cumulative GPA was a 3.2, and then it went down to a 3.1. And the minimum to be an NBC page is a 3.2. And so I sent my... Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No. Yeah. It's a good thing I'm learning this after the fact. I mean, I was good, but, you know, it's still like...
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I was a good student, but that last semester I took all the classes that I didn't want for 4 years, and they were hard, and I didn't put in as much effort because senioritis is very real in college. And then I was so crushed when I was driving the Wienermobile. It was like my last month before the job was done. And I was convinced. Sarah Haynes herself even told me that I told her I wanted to be her when I grew up, when I met her. And she was like, you're a shoo-in. You would make the perfect page. You need to come out here. You can be me. I believe in you. And I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then the coordinator sent me this thanks but no thanks email after I gave them my transcripts. And I was like,
wow.
It was maddening because I'm totally capable of it. But because I had a 4-credit, not great grade from a science class my senior year, that screwed me over from what I thought at the time was a career-defining decision. And so I thought, well, I don't have many connections in New York anyway. I might as well go to LA. And here I am. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I've met the love of my life, and I have a really good group of friends. And for the time being, I'm happy enough with where I am in my career.
Yeah.
So I think it's all meant to be. But also, it's sort of on the bucket list to someday live in New York. But then somebody who has lived in New York recently told me, you know, there's not many laundry units on a lot of old New York City buildings, so you're going to have to carry your laundry through a blizzard. And I thought, game over. Staying in LA forever.
That did. And it's funny, a little things.
Yeah.
I just, game changes. I mean, just like, not game changers, but just like the final straw for certain people, or like, just not going to happen.
No, thank you. I grew up in 21 years of snowstorms for six months of the year. I feel like I've earned this weather.
Right. Yes, yes.
And my parents, bless their hearts, they're still there, but they need to relocate. They've definitely earned warm weather.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit more about your hosting work that you've been doing, and where you've been, and who you've kind of chatted it up with.
So it's funny because people always want to know, like, who's the most famous person I've ever interviewed. And
yeah,
it's like,
I wasn't going to ask that. You must get that all the damn time.
But I can never answer it. I always clam up and I forget. I think the answer is Kathy Bates.
Okay.
But, like, she's a very serious and kind woman. So the interview isn't that great. Because it was like, she's a cancer survivor. And I was talking to her at an American Cancer Society event about cancer. You know, you can only make cancer so fun in an interview.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not like the best. I feel like the best interviews I've done are with people who I usually don't know who they are. And I'm just shooting the shit with them. I interviewed Dennis Quaid last week. And he was so cool. And I, as a joke, I was like, you know, out of all the roles you've played, what do you prefer? Somebody who's rough around the edges, like this new character you're playing in this show on Crackle, or the character that defined my childhood, Nick Parker from The Parent Trap, also known as Lindsay Lohan's dad.
Yeah.
That's what I said to him. And he laughed. Like, a lot of celebrities would be really put off by that. But he laughed and he was like, you know, that was a really good role for me, and a lot of people recognize me from that. And I was the king of the carpool back in the day. And I was like, okay, Dennis Quaid is a cool guy. Yeah, like, if he can be lighthearted about being Lindsay Lohan's dad, then he's a pretty cool dude.
To go back to the Today Show for a second, I saw a photo of you and Al Roker.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what that was like. How did that come about?
Okay, so I was at a red carpet recently for Autism Speaks, which is an organization.
A very good organization.
Yeah, and he was there because it was a celebrity chef event, and Conan O'Brien was hosting it, and Pink, the singer, was performing. And I was like, Al, if you could cook Conan and Pink dinner, what would you make them? And he said he would make Conan a ham, because he is one. And he would make Pink cotton candy, because of her hair. And then I was like, Al, what would you make me? And he's like, a roast chicken. And before I could say anything, he cut me off because I was going to say, Al, come on. That is like the lamest dish you can make anybody.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, when a roast chicken is done right, it is delicious. And I was like, okay, whatever, Al. That's a very PC thing to say. But also, I'm paleo, so I appreciate you making me a roast chicken.
But
he was really funny, and he was a good interview. He was easy to talk to.
Good. Yeah. I heard he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Yeah.
But I think as far as red carpets go, it's funny because I was with a friend, another host, at the Golden Globes this year. And I only did one interview on that carpet. I was mainly there for him. We went into the main floor of the Beverly Hilton, which is where the Golden Globes took place. And after the red carpet was done, it was just insanity. And I remember J.K. Simmons had just won the Golden Globe for Whiplash. And he's an older gentleman, and he's been acting for years, but I think this was his first, like, huge award, and the media was swarming him, and you can tell that he's an actor that isn't used to that kind of fame. He was, like, really grumpy, and he was, like, obviously agitated. All these people wanted to talk with him, and then there were the cast of Silicon Valley on HBO, and they're just, like, a bunch of comedians who probably smoke a bunch of weed.
So
they're just, like, hanging around, like, who wants to come take a picture with us, you know? And Martin Starr, he's one of the actors on Silicon Valley, and he was also in Freaks and Geeks. He was, like, one of the geeks with the huge eyes and the big glasses. I just went up to him, and I was like, Martin, I love Silicon Valley. Can I please take a picture? And he was so cool about it, and I took a photo with him, and he even, like, commented on my Instagram.
Nice.
Like, he was so cool about it. But it was so surreal, because if you walk out of the elevator of the Beverly Hilton, and it was, like, it was just a sea of, like, celebrities and press and fans, people who were, like, in the audience, just mixing together, and like some people were trying to hide and some people were chasing. A lot of people were drunk because the Golden Globes, it's like a dinner,
which
makes it, in my opinion, the best award show.
Yeah.
You know, the celebrities get drunk while they're eating dinner. And then, like, the people who we interviewed earlier on in the night recognized us, and they're like, hey, how's it going? And so it was this very surreal event.
A very Hollywood moment.
What is my life? So then the red carpet was just a free-for-all. You know, anybody could walk on it. And at the end of the red carpet was the ultimate after party. Taylor Swift was in there. Everybody was in there. Mm. So we just sort of walked onto the red carpet and stood off to the side and watched as all the celebrities walked in. And we saw Rita Ora, and we saw her and took a picture with her. Gail King, and took a picture with Gail. All these Victoria's Secret models. Hilary Duff was wasted. So giggly and happy. Mm-hmm. Made my life, because Lizzie McGuire probably shaped my childhood, honestly.
Yes, her and Shia.
Yes, Shia and
Bring
Lizzie.
It full circle here.
They really did, yes. So that was like a very surreal moment for me. It was just, and the guy who plays Wes on How to Get Away with Murder, like all these really big celebrities were walking by, and I was just like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? These people, like, and I was gawking. It's not like they know my name. It's mm-hmm. not like they're, hey, Kylie, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I recognize that girl. I think I saw that platinum hair somewhere. Mm-hmm. Don't know her name, and I don't know why I know her, so I'm going to awkwardly look away. That's what it was.
Okay, yes.
And I had, like, a glass of wine in me, so I was like, selfie, I'm going to take a selfie with everybody as they walk by. But, right. you know, nobody's my friend. And that's the weird thing about being a host. You know, when you're a red carpet host, you interview people on the red carpet, and for those 30 seconds, they're going to be nice to you because they want the press.
Yeah.
And you're having a fun conversation. But the minute it's done, it's weird. It's you stop talking, and even if they can't move, you turn your back, or like you just don't acknowledge each other because the conversation is done and it's weird and you're still standing next to each other.
Weird.
It's a strange dynamic, right?
It is, because when they walk up, it's like everything. It's like, oh my God, hi, you look great. The compliments, the conversation, and then when it's done, it's done.
It's done.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you're still standing there, and it's like, okay, well, I'll turn to my producer now.
Yeah.
Even though they're right there. But I don't have anything else to say. Or if you're a huge fan, then you have too much to say and it gets weird.
Right. So, in addition to doing the hosting work that you do, you also juggle that with working a full-time job.
I do.
Yeah, I know you know all about that.
Yeah.
Work on an HGTV show.
Yeah, I'm a producer on Flipper Flop, which is all about flipping houses in Orange County, which you're very familiar with.
Yes.
But it's just one particular couple, and I help. I'm a story producer, so I used to be in the field filming, but I got bumped up. And now I help shape the story. So it's not scripted, it's reality. Mm-hmm. But I take all the footage, and I try to help give some purpose to it and condense it to 20 minutes, which is a lot.
What's the ratio like of what you shoot versus what you use? I mean, 20 minutes is no joke to tell any type of story.
It's like 90 hours of on-set filming for every one episode of 23 minutes. Wow. 90 hours. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
So it's like, how many, let's see, if each shoot day is like 10 hours, that's like, well, it's probably, yeah, it's about like 60 to 90 hours. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work for 23 minutes.
So are you the one responsible for finding the problem that went wrong with the remodel of the new building or whatever? The big issue, is this going to really happen or not?
I'm responsible for making a $2,000 air conditioning unit change look like a huge deal. Yeah. It's a lot of reaction shots and a lot of, are you kidding me? But it's all real. It's mm-hmm. it's just a matter of how many times we can edit the same reactions.
Right. Now, what's it like to be able to work full-time, be a producer, which is no small feat, as well as host, and be in a very serious relationship?
Yeah, it's a lot, but I think I'm one of those people that when I'm not stressed, I'm bored. Mm-hmm. I kind of love being overworked, which is unhealthy. But I think everybody in LA is that type. Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here.
Well, it's feast or famine, too. I mean, you know, who the hell wants to be sitting around waiting for the phone to ring? Right. Nobody wants to be in that position here.
Right.
Because the phone doesn't ring.
That's right. You got to keep yourself busy. I'm really glad that I work behind the scenes. I didn't ever think I would end up in reality TV, but it's taught me so much. And it's, honestly, the more skills you can obtain, the better. You know, you can never know too much about the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think that by working behind the scenes, I know how to be a better host and a better person to work with and mm-hmm. a little quicker, and to know what kind of sound bites a producer wants. Because when I'm sitting behind the computer looking at footage, it's maddening to think, oh, I wish they had just said this. And now that I know hindsight, I can kind of look ahead and think about how a producer would be thinking when they're watching my footage.
Yes, absolutely. It
comes in handy.
Right.
And it can never hurt to know how to work a camera, because I'm sure you know this, but, like, hosts have to be everything now. You can't just be, you know, you can't just be Juliana Rancic. You have to be Juliana plus the producer plus the camera guy plus the sound guy plus the editor. You have to be able to do it all just to be able to someday maybe get the job that Juliana has.
Right. Now, you do all that work, and you have different platforms in which you post your work.
Yeah.
Tell us what you want to promote and where we can find some of your work.
Okay, so I just started a blog. Like, I haven't promoted it at all. We're debuting it. You're hearing it first right here on Grant's Rants.
This
is an exclusive.
Yes.
I love cooking and DIY and all things lifestyle. Really into it. And so I decided to start a blog, and it's called blondesided.com, blonde-sided.com. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, you know, like, recipes that I love, and I love DIYing projects. I love updating my apartment, but I, you know, I say I have West Elm tastes with a Goodwill budget. So it's a matter of, like, how am I going to make that happen?
I saw your YouTube video where you created the headboard.
My glitter headboard.
Yes, I did see that a while back.
I literally found that in the garbage, and now it's my headboard in my bedroom. And I live with my boyfriend, and it's a glitter headboard. And if you watch the video, you'll see I talk about how it took more glitter than I wanted, and I had to put, like, a sealant coat on it. But my boyfriend, he's Mexican, so he has really dark complexion and black hair, and I'm very white. I'm as white as they come, and I have platinum white hair. And he, in the mornings when we wake up, sometimes he has, like, glitter flecks on his face. They don't really show up on me, but they're very evident in his hair and on his face. I think they're cute. They're like glitter freckles.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, but I love it. And so blondesided.com, and I'm just trying to kind of see where it goes. You know, I'm a big fan of Damsel in Dior. If anybody loves fashion bloggers out there, she's like the fashion blogger. Mm-hmm. So I just dream of someday being like her. I think her career is based on her Snapchat solely. And I dream. I mean, can you imagine if you made all of your income off of Snapchatting?
I know.
Game over.
Right.
That's I would love that.
That's like these people that make money off of posting memes on Instagram. I mean, that's their career.
Oh, and sign me up.
10,000 a post. Okay.
Yes, please.
I'm good with making one post.
Yeah. Give me all the posts.
Right.
I'll do all of them. But yes.
So fill me in on the carnival that you just got back from doing.
So,
How did this even come about?
Okay, so I just saw a casting for somebody to be the ringmaster of a carnival. And it kind of made me laugh. And so I applied as a joke. I sent, like, a really sarcastic email about how I drove the Wienermobile, and if I can handle a giant wiener, then I can handle a carnival, which is, like, a disgusting email to send to a stranger. But they liked me, and they cast me for it, and it's called the STEAM Carnival. So in schools now, they're really trying to push kids to get into science and engineering. STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Mm-hmm. And so this carnival is, like, a high-tech modern carnival. Kids can build robots and see a guy get a million volts of electricity zapped through him. Like, it's a very bizarre experience. And I was the ringmaster. So it was really fun. I got to run the main stage. I got to wear this very, like, eccentric looking ringmaster outfit with, like, this big sexy skirt and, like, a blazer with LED light up buttons.
Nice.
I made my hair really big so it looked like I got electrocuted. It was great. And it was up in San Francisco, and it was one weekend. And this was, like, the real deal. It's a big deal in Silicon Valley to be launching STEM or STEAM in the school system, because obviously all the engineers that live in Silicon Valley want their kids to get that education in school. So there was all these big wigs, like the CEO of Twitter and Snapchat came to this VIP event at the carnival. And I was hosting, and I just kept thinking, like, how can I get the blue check on my Twitter account?
I know.
And it was really fun. It was really cool. And my boyfriend, Omar, he's a stand-up comedian. And so he came up with me and he did a little comedy tour while we were up there. And my mom loves to joke that we're a power couple.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is the real deal. This is actual power couple status. I'm just in town working, hosting an event. My boyfriend's just in town working, hosting comedy shows. Look at us being a Hollywood couple.
I love that, though, because it's. I just find it, in my own case, rare to be able to have someone that's there that gets the name of the game, but also is so supportive through anything, you know, to really be able to talk to through the tough times, that has that reality. They know that what you're going through, and they know what to say, as opposed to just being like, oh, it'll be okay, and not knowing the reality of the business.
Yeah.
So like, that's invaluable. I think everyone should have some type of partner in this business.
Yeah, really. Well, and the great thing about Omar, he's a great listener to begin with, but as a comedian, you're putting your everything on stage. I feel like being a stand-up comedian is the most vulnerable thing you can be, because you're telling your whole life story in front of a whole crowd, and you're basing your success on laughs. Mm-hmm. You know, as a host, it's not like that. I can sort of put on a persona, I ask certain questions, and that's it. I'm not waiting for satisfaction from laughs.
Right.
And so if anybody can handle rejection and like tough love, it's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And so I think that by having somebody who's been there and done that times 100, that they can really serve you the truth and help you get through like rejections and bring you back down to, you know, ground level, like the rest of the world, when sometimes your brain gets a little, your ego gets a little too high.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He keeps me grounded, which is good.
Yeah, that's necessary around here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where can we find you online so we can keep up with the latest news?
So I'm real sassy on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter at @TheKylieHodges. Instagram, just Kylie Hodges. I'm a little more vanilla there. Or Snapchat at @TheKylieHodges. Man, someone screwed up my Instagram, so I had to change it. But anyways, Twitter and Snapchat, @TheKylieHodges. Instagram, just Kylie Hodges. And of course, my blog, blonde-sided.com.
Check it out. Definitely do that. And we want to thank you for listening to our episode. Please leave those comments. You can find us on Facebook as well. Look up Grants Hollywood Talk on Facebook, and feel free to tweet me. I love hearing from all of you guys who have been listening. The podcast is doing very well, so I'm thankful to all of you for checking it out.
Yay.
This has been Grants Rants. Follow us on Twitter at @Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Ronay. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.